Good morning. Welcome to the Full Totness Breakfast on Soundout Radio 102.5 FM with me, Peter Sheeran. And it's a Wednesday and we're live on the 22nd of... Is it September? Yes, it is. It's September. Yes, we're coming up to the end of September. Right. Well, on the show today, we'll be joined by the lovely Catherine from the Bay Horse. And we're going to have a little bit of history. And yeah, we're going to be talking about pubs, one of my favourite subjects, I guess. But the pub, of course, has a lot of history, pubs and breweries. So we'll be talking about those things directly after the first song that she has chosen the music for today. This is Harbottle and Jonas and Whenever You See a Robin.
Jimmy said Dad was once described as a cross between Clint Eastwood and Stick of the Dump. He was brave too, drove his car into Jimmy, so stop it rolling into traffic and into trouble. Time is made up, just everything happening at the same time. Whenever you see a robin, don't forget to tip your hat, dear Charles. Chased by a bear one time, oh boy did he love his dog called Scooter. Riding horses across Spanish mountains, I think he wanted to be a cowboy, just needs some guns. He marched for peace without a penny to his name. His wedding day, he wore machine gun bullets around his waist. You can hear the wolves howling at night in the western wing at Sparkwell. The wolves he fed as a child. He lived in a squat in London, haunted farmhouse called Bellamarsh, Cracklewood in South Brent, trying to create his pyramid. He used to ride with the robins on his prize Ducati, following the wind through Thurston, through Staverton and Avondale and up the mountain. We lost him on the 5th of December, sudden and unexpected.
Harbottle and Jonas, whenever you see a Robin from the Beacon album, and we I think Harbottle and Jonas must be the most played act on this show, actually, mainly because of the Friday feelings with Katie Whitehouse. But we have with us here Kathy Alexander. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning.
Welcome to the show again. We're going to talk history, pubs and breweries. But why did you choose the great Harbottle and Jonas?
Well, partly because they're going to be appearing at my public house, the Bay Horse Inn, on Friday. But also because that was that particular song. It was actually about a chap who lived locally who died in 2016, who was called he was called Simon Courty, and he was quite a character. But it gave us a little trawl around the South Hams. You know, they talk about Sparkwell and South Brent and the Avon Dam and Thurlston. And I really, you know, like that song because of that, because it's sort of a trawl around my family history, really.
Oh,
all those places.
Wonderful. Well, that's one of the great things about good local music is when it refers to things. Was it John Elliott does a whole trawl round? He mucks about with the names of every local area.
Yes.
I can't remember that song, but yes. So, in terms of history and stuff, you are a guide.
Tour guide.
And so you know some stuff about what goes on around these parts. And pubs and breweries, you must know quite a bit about that because you are actually in the industry.
Yes. So, of course, I have two hats on today, my publican hat and my tour guide hat. And, yeah, I thought we'd do sort of a quick random trawl around Totnes of a few of the older establishments. But I sort of was going to start by saying how many have gone. There have been loads of pubs that were around Totnes back in the day. Imagine if you go back to you know, the 1700s, the 1800s, the Victorian times, there were many more pubs than there are now, and a few that might have survived into people's memories in the current day are the Globe Inn, which was down at the bottom of Castle Street, where the intersection is.
Yeah, that would be my local if it still existed.
Yeah, where Shooter's Hill comes out, just the building right opposite with the sort of corner-shaped building. That was the Globe Inn.
Yeah.
And a lot of people remember that one. The Plymouth Inn in the Narrows, which is now the sewing and material shop.
Oh, I didn't know there was one there.
Yeah, and it's still got Plymouth Inn House written above the door.
Does it?
Yeah.
Cool.
And what is now at the, for instance, the bottom of 4th Street, if we look at where Fat Faces, other clothing establishments are available, but where Fat Faces, when I moved to Totnes, that was an off-license, and before it had been the Oxford. So that was also a pub of long standing that's now disappeared.
Good Lord. So, there's more.
One I particularly want to talk about is the Lion Inn. The Lion Inn was at 52 High Street, which is now Sea Salt. So just to put you in context.
Yeah.
Sorry, my phone just pinged.
That's
apologies. So the Lion Inn at 52 High Street was actually owned by, various people. It was mentioned as far back as 1823, the proprietors of it are known. But in the 1840s, the then owner decided to, Mr. Philip Condy had lost his wife, was left with six children, and whether he needed to increase his revenue to look after the children or whether he just wanted to stay out of the house, we're not sure, but he started a brewery. Uh-huh. And the brewery went through to the back of the Sea Salt building. And right now, as I speak to you, I am sitting in the top of the brewery because it's where I live.
Right. That's it all comes home to roost, all this stuff. It's an amazing yes. set of
and it also was called the Lion Brewery, and it is the name that we were very involved in the startup of the new Lion Brewery, and we gave them the name.
Right.
So the Lion Brewery is the building we live in, on South Street, and it is also the name we gave to the new Lion Brewery when they were starting up.
Mm.
And they actually made the Totnes Stout because of the original Lion Brewery having a famous Totnes Stout.
Yes.
So they still make the stout.
And you've got the poster for that in the Bay Horse, haven't you?
I do have an advertising poster of the original Lion Brewery. Yes, it's up above the mantelpiece if anybody comes in and wants to have a look at it.
It's very old then.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And actually, the Lion Brewery went on to become a really big concern and owned, for instance, the Globe and the Plymouth that I just mentioned, and certainly the Bay Horse, which we now run. The Lion Brewery owned all of those at one point.
Oh, wow. So the thing about breweries owning pubs, so that's, it's gone back a long way. I sort of assumed it was a modern event where Whitbread and all that.
No, I mean, the Lion Brewery and its associated properties were sold by auction, and all the details of it are down in the marvellous Totnes archives behind the museum in October 1921. Right. And they had 11 public houses and 13 cottages.
Wow.
At that time when it was broken up.
Cool.
And the only reason it was broken up was that the then owner had nobody to pass it on to.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So it was just his no family that were going to take it over or anything, so
yeah,
it was sold on,
right, to individuals. Yeah. Which is why it's all over the there's no sign of it now apart from the rebirth in the new Lion. Well,
yeah,
that's really interesting.
The sign of it literally still on our property in South Street. We have one of the original metal lions, and it's up on the wall. So if you're walking up South Street and you pass the front of our building, you'll see a black metal lion up on the wall, and that is literally the pub sign still there.
Is it? I didn't.
Or
again,
the brewery sign.
That is in great condition. It doesn't look as though it's a million years old.
No, well, it was quite beaten up and scruffy when I first took possession of it, but somebody beat it flat again for me and painted it up. Okay. So yeah, so it's looking quite nice now.
Very good. So if you're wandering up South Street, you look to your right as you go towards the top, towards the Narrows, and you'll see all this stuff. It's great, lovely. Yeah. As you were saying earlier to me, we've got so many pubs in the town. If we covered them all, we'd be here all morning. So
that's right.
It seems to me we do as a town have a huge number of pubs per capita in terms of more than usual. Is that wrong or is that right? Or is it normal?
You know, I'm not so sure. Having grown up in a city where there was one, you know, virtually on every corner, it's I mean, I grew up in Plymouth, and obviously, you know, it's a seaport, a naval town. But now, compared to, you know, back in the heyday of pubs, which I would say was the Victorian era right through to probably World War II era, then, you know, Plymouth is a shadow of its former self in terms of public houses. They used to say there were 99 pubs just in Union Street in Plymouth, and that the idea the Navy had was when you came ashore, you had to have at least one drink in every single one.
I don't think so. Maybe a
I don't know if anyone ever achieved
one.
It.
I don't think so, no. No, I'm just thinking the town I grew up in Somerset, Midsummer Norton, I reckon there would have been about 10 pubs, and it was a bigger town than Totnes, whereas we've got more than 10 here. So that's where my thinking comes from.
That's interesting. I mean, and at the moment we've got the Kingsbridge closed down at the moment.
Yes, that's a shame, isn't it?
And the others, I think, are all operating now, aren't they? Yeah, so
I think
there's...
So.
Yeah, we're doing quite well. The King Bull, the Dartmouth, King Bill, the Dartmouth, the Bull. Yeah, so the lovely Albert over the bridge is the only one on the other side. Which is interesting.
It
so,
is, isn't it? Why? Well, I suppose it's all new housing estates relatively on in Bridgetown. And
apart from, yeah, the little old part of Bridgetown, which is where the Albert is.
Yeah.
There did used to be another one over there, which was, I've forgotten
the
name of it. It was there when I moved here, right by the river.
Smugglers Inn.
Smugglers, that's it, yeah.
That was big. And that was huge.
Yeah, that's a veterinarian now.
Yes. I'm also thinking, I'm minded of Milltown Malbay, which is a town in South Ireland where some friends lived. And there were so many pubs in that small village that they had to take it in turns to open. There's no point. So, different pubs were open on different nights. Because there weren't enough
that
people.
That just sounds like everyone had an open house in their living room.
It probably was, yeah. They only all opened together when they had a folk festival. So the town would have a folk festival, and then the pubs all just opened willy-nilly. But,
Goodness me.
So literally every five or six houses was a pub.
Well,
amazing.
That'd be interesting to know how they actually made a living out of that, but... Yes, sounds amazing. I must go there sometime.
lovely beautiful place on the sea. So breweries, we've got a few here, haven't we, or am I jumping the gun?
Well, obviously we have the New Lion Brewery, has now moved out of town just due simply to lack of space. They're now out at Dartington, and there is what was the Castle Inn is the Totnes Brewing Co, and they make their own in-house brew. We have, I've got COVID brain. I'm trying to think. They're now brewing lager somewhere out at Dartington, to Dartington. Yep.
The Totnes Brewing Company or somebody else?
No. I'm going to say their name in a second, but I've just forgotten it. That's terrible. I had it on the bar before COVID struck. I'll think of it in a second.
Okay.
It's Barnaby's, isn't it?
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's local lager.
Right,
yeah.
Okay. Where?
Yeah, so there is quite a lot around.
There is, and then there's the Albert. They do their own.
Oh, yes, the Albert. Yes, they have their own brewery as well.
Yeah, got more than our fair share, I think. Got plenty of beer going around, swilling around this town.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, let's have a bit of music now. Who's James Schofield? Schofield Duo.
James Schofield, okay, so... sorry, I'm shamelessly plugging my own event here, but we are reintroducing music at the Bay Horse, which I'm very excited about. After all this time, we're finally getting some music back in. And we have the Equinox events from Thursday through Sunday, and the Schofield Duo are playing on Saturday. They are, James Schofield is a young guy from Brixham, mm-hmm. and as a duo, he actually plays with his dad, okay. who is also a young guy from Brixham, in my view. and they have a great funk sound. James has his own recording studio, I think, and produces his own music and recordings and so on. And yeah, he's very much into the slap bass style. So a lot of funky grooves coming out of his studio, yeah. Great. And he plays covers and originals. So I chose one of the songs that he's recorded himself.
I see me in the nature that's surrounding me, all the leaves on the trees in the summer, and I see blue, no cloud in the sky. What a pretty view when the fresh water.
Schofield, Colourful World, and that was chosen by Corinne Bailey Ray. I don't know why that follow was on from Mr. Schofield, but they're playing Saturday. Did you say it was Saturday or Friday?
Saturday night.
At the Bay Horse, the Equinox Festival, which is sort of beers and stuff, isn't it? We've got lots of beers on.
Very mini beer and cider festival. So we're putting on 8 beers and several ciders. You'd think we'd been drinking them already because we kind of lost count. We thought it was 8, but it's probably maybe more now.
Too much.
And and it's really just all about, you know, it is actually the equinox today, so that's why we chose the name. And it's all about relaunching our music offerings at the pub.
Right. And must be exciting for you. Are you nervous at all about any of this, or is it just let's go and let's do this?
I mean, obviously things are different now. We have reduced the amount of furniture inside the pub, so not so many people can sit inside as before. I mean, it's not rammed with chairs and tables like it used to be. So that makes a bit of a difference because the bands are playing inside as they always did. Mm. So there will be, we're just going to play it by ear and see how busy it gets, how crowded it is.
Yeah.
We have doors open, the back door and the side door. We have taken every precaution we can. We've actually shelled out on quite an expensive pepper filter, which is an air filtration system. Ooh. That they've been putting them in quite a lot of schools and things where classrooms can't be ventilated enough, so we thought, oh yeah, we should get one of those. So because our windows in the pub are not openable, so we bought this air filtration system, which has been working really well, and it basically sucks in all of the air of the room and puts it through this HEPA filter and spits it out clean. So,
that's interesting. We're going to see a lot more of that in the future, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. So we've done sort of everything we can to make the place, you know, obviously safe and a clean air environment. So, I mean, I'm really looking forward to just the vibe of having some people in. We had our second folk session last night. They did actually sit outside because the weather was nice. So they all went outside into the courtyard area. Mm. But it was just so nice to see all these musicians and singers piling in the pub and having a session. It's great.
Fantastic. Good. So back to the pubs. Where are we going next?
I have to give the Royal Seven Stars a mention. They are probably the oldest inn in town, despite claims by other parties, mainly because they would have had monastic origins. They're hard on the river landings, the medieval bridge, or the previous Saxon bridge and ford in times before that. So, and its name is the giveaway. Seven Stars is the, in Catholic terms, it's the crown of Mary. Her celestial crown was always shown as having seven stars.
Ah, right.
So that is the giveaway that it probably was a religious house on that site, which of course all inns were originally, all hostelries, hotels. Back in those days, they were mostly, monastic houses run by brothers, and that's where you would have stayed when you came to a town or a village. The Seven Stars itself, as it currently stands now, it was probably built during the 1660s, the original build, with lots of updating over the centuries. So what we look at as a frontage now is sort of a Regency kind of looking frontage. The porch dates from the mid-1700s, I think. So it has lots of changes, additions, you know, and so on. But we know that there was a chantry chapel behind it, which is the foundation of it would now be under Station Road. But it had originally been part of the stables when the inn expanded. It was actually under their stables. And when they were excavating the stables, at some point they found a couple of an archway of the door of the chapel. So we know that there were religious buildings there.
Okay.
And we know the chapel was called the Chapel of Edward the Confessor. And it was typical to have a traveller's chapel, so that as you arrived in a place by boat or on foot, you gave thanks for your safe arrival, or you went there to pray for a safe journey as you were leaving. So we think that's the origins of the seven stars. It's certainly the origins of its name.
Right. Yeah. So the assumption I've always had is that when travellers used to go, they used to go get into the ale house, and that was the first thing they did. But they were quite pious back then.
Well, there was no ale house as such originally. If you go back far enough into medieval times, there were no ale houses as such. It was more... you were offered ale because that's all there was to drink anyway.
Because the water wasn't clean enough. You wouldn't drink water.
Yeah, water wasn't safe. So brewers used to make what they called small beer, which is basically a very pale, washy version of what we now call ale.
Mm.
And I have a theory about that. Brewing was often given to... women as a profession. It would be like widows or single women would have that profession of being brewers of the small ale or the small beer. And as they, as the centuries progressed and inns proper as we know them today and ale houses came into being over the centuries, and ale got stronger, and water got cleaner and we started drinking water and tea and other things. So brewing became more and more of a man's profession. So I think it tells you something. It's the men who made it stronger and stronger until we get to what we drink today.
Yes. I remember in Bristol, there was a brewery in Stokes Croft that insisted on trying to compete with another brewery to get it as strong as they possibly could. And they were getting to 20%, an idiotic amount
amazing.
Which I never tried. I never tried that.
That's spirit, basically. If you keep going, you end up with spirit.
You will, won't you? So I don't see the point of that, to be honest, because you might as well make a spirit at that level. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not much. Yes. So the inside, as we know it, the middle bit of the seven stars, would that have been, I think, am I right in thinking that's where they brought the horses in?
At some point, yes. It would have been, it had a large inner courtyard. And so if you're looking at sort of the early 18th century, you would have had a large inner courtyard and a wide front entrance through which horse and rider could pass, for instance.
Mm.
I could say, like, in 1720, Daniel Defoe, the writer and journalist, stopped there and mentions it in his diaries that he stayed in a great inn next to the bridge.
Okay.
And we know, you know, it still has the flagstone floor when you walk through under the porch now.
Yes, and it's got the seven stars carved out in them, hasn't it?
Yeah. So yes, it's the days of the sort of coaching when the coach and the mails started as an enterprise, and we had the toll roads coming in from the late sort of 1700s onwards, that was when that inn probably came into its own as a large affair with lots of stabling and lots of you know, space inside. So it always would have been probably the biggest and largest inn or hotel in the town, for sure.
So it would have been very vibrant back in those days as the main sort of point of contact for the town.
Oh, yes, travellers coming and going. And of course, I mean, there were, you know, other points of town to arrive at. So at our end of town, for instance, if we move on up the town, mm-hmm. you get to the Bull Inn in the Rutherfold and the Bay Horse. Those inns were specifically centred around the animal markets. So we had the sheep market and the cattle market. Rutherfold actually means a place to keep cattle. And the Bull Inn is testament to that.
Yeah.
Sorry?
A fold.
Yes, a fold, yeah. And Ruther is an old English name for cattle. So you have the Rutherfold and you have the Bull Inn on the corner. Right. So all of, you know, the pub names all... I hate it when modern breweries change pub names because you lose the history. It really annoys me.
Yeah, me too. Kebab and Calculator is the pub in the Young Ones.
Oh, yes.
Which I thought was quite an amusing take on that. But
So anyway, yes, the Bull Inn speaks of it being on the Rutherfold, and the Bay Horse would have been a pub that you arrived at as you came into town from down Kingsbridge Hill. The Kingsbridge would have been an inn without the wall, as it were, and the Bay Horse. Going back far enough, they'd have been outside of the town walls. And,
oh, I see.
And then once you're past Tudor times and so on, that becomes largely irrelevant. The gates didn't really mean much anymore. But they were, from medieval times, the animal markets were there, the cattle markets, the sheep markets, all of the butchers and slaughterhouses were down the Narrows. So very much farmers, tradesmen, people concerned with food production and so on at that end. And I know in the case of the Bay Horse, for instance, people say that it dates back to 1485. That was certainly written over the door when we took it over, and where it was painted over the door. We painted it out because we weren't sure where the date came from or how anybody found that out, because we've still to this day found no concrete proof that the building was dated, was built in 1485. However, having had some repairs done, at least two of the walls, the front wall above the door, the main part of the pub, is lath and plaster underneath the slate. And one of the inner walls is also lath and plaster, so we know it's almost certainly Tudor. So the building, though, has expanded in... over the centuries. I mean, like all buildings, they change and are altered. And we know that there was a side alley, which is now still there, the side entrance and the tradesman's entrance. But originally it wasn't covered over by building. It was an open alley. And the rooms, which are now bed and breakfast rooms above that alley, have different windows. The windows are very large. They're much more sort of Georgian style. Hmm. So, and we can see the join. If you go upstairs into our B&B area, this one wall takes a distinct curve, a bend at one point, and it's basically where those two pieces of building were joined together. The Georgian bit was built as an add-on to an older bit.
So 1485?
1485 was the date proposed. Yeah.
So if that was true,
I only have landlords going back to 1830, though.
Right. So the proof of going back through the records is the main thing, isn't it? Because you get these pubs in the UK love to argue about who's the oldest, don't they? That's sort of like a trope, isn't it?
But there's a pub in a local village not far from here that has 1068 written on it, which is before the conquest.
Yeah.
And I know for a fact that there was not an inn standing on that site before the conquest.
Okay. Are you going to name names or are you being diplomatic?
I'm being diplomatic. It's probably that there was a foundation of some much older, maybe a Saxon hall or something, underneath the building that is now a pub.
Right.
It's one of the church houses. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay. All right. So
there's a lot of those around.
Getting back to your Equinox Festival, which is this weekend, yeah. You've got AD Birtwell is getting in on the act.
Oh, yes, tomorrow. So reintroducing the Thursday night various sessions that AD runs. They are actually moving to Wednesday as of October. We're going to start them on a Wednesday night. This is mainly because pubs and other places have all started up events at different times post-lockdown, and someone else has kind of snaffled Thursday night now, so we're taking Wednesday.
Okay.
And he's going to be running the one of the Wednesdays will be Songwriters Showcase, and as part of Equinox, he's running a Songwriters Showcase tomorrow night.
Right.
So I think he's still got some slots available, so if there's any budding songwriters out there, singer-songwriters who want to come along and have a go, they should contact Songwriters Showcase on Facebook.
Right, okay.
And get themselves booked in.
We'll put a link on the bottom of the podcast, so if anybody listens to this during today, they can take advantage of that and maybe contact AD directly.
Yeah, sure.
I thought I'd pick out one of AD's songs. So, because he's a singer-songwriter himself, that's why he does it. So let's have one of his.
No more. Yesterday I saw you again, looking like you did back then, and the memories came flooding back to me. La la la. Yeah.
Adrian Birtwell, who is running the Songwriters Showcase tomorrow night at the Bay Horse. And that had a meaning, that song, didn't it?
The floods
of the 50s.
Yeah, AD was singing about the floods of the 1950s over on the southeast coast of England, which came very suddenly, and it was a big storm, took everyone by surprise, and a lot of people lost their lives. And he met someone when he lived over that way who was involved, who had been caught up in the events. And so that song, Floods of Memories, was about that.
Ah, yes. And so how many people does AD have on his showcase? It's not the showcase, that's a different thing, isn't it?
Well, it's Songwriters Showcase. Yeah, that's what's happening tomorrow.
Yeah.
I think he's got about 8 slots, but I don't know how many are filled at the moment. So he does still have a couple of spaces.
I will have a look whilst we're chatting here. I'll have to see if he's got any more, what times he's got free, because I think we've written that down on the Totnes Pulse somewhere. So I'll have a quick gander at that whilst have we got anywhere else to go in terms of pubs now? Are we now at the end of our journey in terms of going around the town?
I was just going to mention comparing our pub and the Bull Inn, for instance, our records of landlords at the Bay Horse go back to 1830. We don't have anything before that, and that was actually the Archive Centre who provided me with names right up to date. The Bull Inn can go back to tax records of 1785. So, you know, it's a question of interpretation. I think the Bull Inn would always have been an inn. The Bay Horse may not have been an inn before the 1800s. It might have been a building, but not an inn. I'm not sure. It's an interesting thought, but that quite often happened. You have buildings. I mean, there are buildings on the High Street that were inns back in the 1600s and 1700s. And we have records of them because they're the big old Tudor buildings that are still, you know, standing and have very good records, mainly because they were wealthy merchants' houses. So there are lots of records for those kind of houses. And then at some point, you know, in the 1800s, they became inns. And now they've reverted back to commercial or private property again. So it's just an interesting thing to look at. You know, when you're walking around the town, you could be walking past something that was a pub. I can give you an example. The Loft Agency, which is a dress agency, dress shop, just up under the East Gate on the left, that used to have Seymour Architects upstairs.
Oh yeah.
I think at the moment it might be to let, but that is an amazing Tudor building. Like, the interiors are all still intact, the wood paneling, the plaster ceilings, everything. It's a great building.
Yeah.
But there is a message, a tiny message, if you know where to look, etched in the glass of one of the windows. And you have to go inside to look at it, and you have to know where to look at it, but up on the first floor, of someone who stayed there when it was an inn. And they must have used a ring or something, or some sharp implement, and they've etched into the glass that they stayed there that night, whatever date it was. it's just, there's these sort of remnants all over town of places that were inns and then weren't, and places that used to be private buildings and now are inns. So
it's fascinating how the graffiti does actually go back so far. It's always been a thing, graffiti. And
graffiti's the main thing, yeah.
And the
graffiti in churches is a thing to look out for.
Right.
You know, that's you find, because in private houses and inns and so on, people tend to redecorate and paint and so on, and these things get lost. But if you go into churches, you can find graffiti on medieval statuary and tombs and all sorts. The naughty choir boys, you know, scratching their names.
Yeah. Ah, well, anyway, that's we are out of time. We can't talk about any more of the wonderful things going on, and the fantastic town that we live in and how wonderful it is. And so thank you, Cathy Alexander, for telling us all about it.
No problem at all. It's been lovely. And thank you for listening.
No, and no, it's been a pleasure. And good luck with your festival this weekend. I hope we'll, as of tomorrow. So good luck with all that. And you've chosen Billie Holiday to play out with. Is that because you're a huge fan, or is that have significance? Yes.
Well, we have jazz on Sunday. The lovely Louise Parker, who is an amazing vocal talent with her trio. But I couldn't find any recordings of hers. I looked all over the internet and couldn't find anything, although she is a jazz singer of some 20 years standing. She's a bit elusive on the internet and social media. So I chose Billie Holiday because she is a fantastic interpreter of Billie Holiday, Ella Fitzgerald, the sort of classic jazz singers.
Right, okay. And that's Sunday night, is it?
Sunday night.
Okay, well, this has been the Full Totness Breakfast on Sound Art Radio 102.5 FM, and we're playing out with Billie Holiday and Gloomy Sunday. We'll see you tomorrow.
Death is no dream, for in death I'm caressing.